Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Bones of Skull Island by Amy Remlov, also known as Mindy Dufresne, follows 11-year-old Hunter Burroughs and his amateur archaeologist father, Mitch, on a dig for dinosaur bones and lost treasure. One day in the Baja Peninsula, they uncover the jawbone of a 700,000-year-old hobbit. They're amazed when the bone jumps to life and leads them on a perilous adventure of ancient curses and new discoveries. Mindy Dufresne, also known as A. Remlov, is a graduate of the University of Minnesota. A novelist and filmmaker, her first book, Pushkin's Ode to Liberty, is about the Russian poet Alexander Pushkin. She has two daughters, five grandchildren, enjoys visiting friends and family in Minnesota and Oregon. The story provided by Chase Stevens, that's Mindy's grandson, now a 10th grader. He's a student council, loves making videos of the student experience, and most of all, he loves to tell a good story. With us on This Week in America, A. Remlov, Mindy Dufresne in real life, author of the science fiction adventure Bones of Skull Island. Welcome to the program, Mindy. Great to have you with us.
Yes, thanks, Rick. Thanks. It's great to be here.
This is a really amazing story. You got all the elements in here. You've got adventure. You've got science fiction, all of it. What inspired you to write this book? Where did this story idea come from?
Well, when Chase was just a young boy, he basically loved to tell a good story. And I'm a writer. I love to tell a good story, too. So I asked him when he got a little bit older and started to read if he would like to work on a book together. And he said, yeah, that would be fun, Grandma. So I basically just asked him what kind of story elements he wanted and what the name of the character, the main character, should be. Then after probably about a few months after I had part of the book written, I gave him the book, which was probably reaching up to the climax of the problem of the story, and said, what else can we do here? What else do you want to see here? But those elements that he listed off were: he wanted Hunter to be named Hunter. He wanted Hunter to have a father. And I said, what should his father's name be? Mitch. And then he said, I also want to see a pirate and Bigfoot, and I want to have a mystery and a prophecy. And Ooh. So I'm going like, oh, we need to include all these story elements into this one story. So I just took all those elements he gave me and wove them into a nice story. And it was a lot of fun. So it was kind of a happenstance that I came across the story in the LA Times of the 700,000-year-old hobbit, and was fascinated by that. And so then I thought, well, let's make this an archaeological dig where they dig up a jawbone of a hobbit.
And boy, the story sort of written itself from that point, didn't it? I mean, it flows so well. The book is Bones of Skull Island. With us is the author, A. Remlov, that's R-E-M-L-O-V, also known as Mindy Dufresne. The book available, and we'll give you all the information where the book's available and all of the information you need to actually order a copy of this as we tell the story. You mentioned working with your grandson, Chase. Talk about that. How much fun was that to work with him on a project like this? Most grandparents don't, you know, work on writing a book with their grandchildren. What was that like working with Chase on this?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He was really easy to work with. And he would basically just say, yeah, Grandma, you know, let's just take this a little step further. And let's make sure that, you know, Bigfoot can talk. Let's make sure that the certain characters can talk as well. How do they communicate? What is the cultural legend behind their particular story? So we had to think about the background story of each one of the characters, and there's more to come too, because we want to do more books.
Ooh, interesting.
He already has given me some new, some platform ideas for more books to come, especially regarding Bigfoot. So he likes that character.
He's a Bigfoot fan, yes, and I can understand that. That's a great character, and I love where this idea from The Hobbit came from. Talk about that again. And when you read that, it sounds like the aha moment was like right then and there, that when you read about this 700,000-year-old Hobbit, you had an idea for the story.
Yeah, I did. I thought, well, you know, how can a 700,000-year-old Hobbit exist in the world at that particular time, 700,000 years ago? So I certainly referenced, you know, I kind of in my head was referencing the Hobbits of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yes.
But I wanted, by reading the article, it made them seem a little different and a little bit more primitive. So I thought, well, we can make up a whole new sort of culture here. We can get into the anthropology of this particular species of person or hobbit. So I think that that's what also makes the book really interesting, is not only are we touching on archaeology, but also the idea of different cultures and anthropologies of other peoples, including the Bigfoot and the animals of the Baja. So I did a lot of research on the Baja Peninsula. I figured that, you know, the way that the plates shift in the earth based on the science that's been done on the shape of the land masses, that's been studied in depth. And so Malaysia and the Baja had some connection at one point. And I just kind of took the story from there.
You know, it's always interesting, the background, how stories evolve. This is a science fiction adventure receiving excellent reviews. And the book, by the way, is available basically wherever books are sold. And check, because it's just been republished by urlinkpublishing.com. Make sure you get the newest version of this. Got a little map on the cover there, which captures your attention. The book is Bones of Skull Island. Our guest is the author, Mindy DuVernay, writes as A. Remlov, R-E-M-L-O-V. Great adventures in the book, but there are themes in the book that you talk about as well. What would you say is the overall theme in the book, Bones of Skull Island?
Well, I think the overall theme is to, you know, the animals are very, and the animals and the Hobbit and Bigfoot are very anxious for the Baja to become, sort of to go back to what it was. And what has happened here with the seaweed pirate, Crazy Pete, he has come to the Baja and he basically has killed off all of these Hobbits, except what he did so, he's strewn the bones of Surly Max in all different directions. So Surly Max is the legend of the 700,000-year-old Hobbit, and so the theme basically is sort of reaching a renewal or a rejuvenation of the earth and of the land that they knew way back when, before it was pillaged, so to speak.
Well, yeah, and you've got some wonderful characters here. I love the development of the character Hunter and his father, Mitch. Who created the wonderful characters in the book, Bones of Skull Island? Was this a collaborative effort as well?
No, that was me. Basically, I created the story of the character types, the fact that, certainly at that age when Chase and I started working on this, he was a little intimidated by girls. But one of the things in our family is that a lot of family members are afraid of heights. So I just used those two things as character traits for Hunter to overcome. And that's how the story started. And a lot of things that challenge us come at us in different ways. And so that's how I introduced Stella into the story, because she's the one who sort of cultivates that fearlessness that's needed to move forward. And she's the one that just sort of dives into the predicaments head on and takes ownership of, you know, how things turn out. And Hunter follows along and he learns on the way. And that's that's also the other piece, and I wanted to make sure that was part of the book, in that I wanted to be a learning experience for kids, because science is so amazing in so many ways. All of the sciences are. So when you think about the plants and the animals and the land masses and how, where to find dinosaur bones or where to go digging, and then also the anthropology behind some of these creatures that you know are part of evidence that have been there before, like the Hobbit and Bigfoot.
Yes.
It's all very fascinating stuff, and so I wanted to inspire kids to think about other realms of science and get creative themselves.
Well, you've done a wonderful job with that. As you're reading it, I'm sure the reader will stop and go, well, I can actually see this happening and I can relate to this particular character. Our guest is A. Remlove, also known as Mindy DuVernay. The book is Bones of Skull Island. I want to go back to this. You touched on it before, but obviously the author in you, the one who really appreciates and loves nature, science, talk about that, how important it was to make this somewhat plausible. This is not a story you're just making a whole bunch of stuff up. There's a lot of reality to this, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And a lot of people don't know, like, for instance, that the nightshade flower does open up in the moonlight. You know, a lot of people don't know that there are these little pygmy owls on the peninsula, on the Baja Peninsula. They don't talk, but my little pygmy owl talked. And it was the bird that provided Stella and Hunter with the information they needed to move forward. So, and then the whispering tree. You know, I always love the idea of a tree providing shelter in a storm. And you know, who else would seek shelter in the storm at the same time? And the idea of the pirate coming out of the sea as a ghost during a storm, but he's covered with seaweed and he haunts the children as they follow, you know, their journey with Bigfoot. It all just kind of came together that way. And it's kind of like following the eight stage structure of a story arc. And I well appreciate that structure, and just wanted to bring a story to light within a short period of time. And it was fun to write.
Well, I bet it was fun. It was fun to read. I'm sure it was fun to write. Did you sit down and have a strict outline? Did you know what was going to happen throughout before you started writing? Or did this sort of write itself as you were getting Hunter in this situation and all of a sudden you take it in a different direction? How strict are you with an outline?
Yeah, I basically just I had eight chapters in mind. If it went a little bit further than that, that would have been fine. But I basically kind of said, okay, we have to set up the predicament. We have to make sure that we have a goal in mind or a situation that sets them on their journey. We have to present a problem. We have to present how the problem is resolved. And so it's just kind of the basic structure that you'd follow as an author. And then at the end, I'm a big fan of happy endings for all children's books.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
And the prophecy actually was something that Chase brought into the picture when we were well into the story. So I had to sort of incorporate that prophecy and that little poem that is part of the prophecy that involves all of the animals of the peninsula. And then incorporating Stella and Hunter as the two characters that bring the prophecy to reality. So it was a fun task, and he was very creative in his thought process and how he wanted the book to turn out. And the other thing that I did was I drew that map. So all of the illustrations there are all my illustrations, but I drew the map so that I had a visual of them making a circle from the yurt camp that they start at all the way up on the east side of the island, and then around to the other end of the island and back to the yurt camp. So all of those things, it was helpful to have that visual of the map that Hunter drew. And then Professor B basically says, you know, that map is something I've seen before, you know, so he knows that there are some of these elements there. And So that's very curious how that happened. But it was fun to write. And I've heard all kinds of good things from all of the other people that have read it. And I'm excited that it's turned out so well.
Well, it really has. And the cover is really well done, as is the story in the book, Bones of Skull Island. The book is published by urlinkpublishing.com. Book will be available wherever books are sold, probably out now. I'm not sure when you'll be listening to or watching our interview. Check and make sure when it's available. This is a book that will be a welcome addition to any young adult's library, and one that gift-giving time, with the holidays or whatever, this is perfect. It has all the elements that will make this a real page-turner for a young reader. How long did it take you, working with Chase on this process and starting off, how long did it take you to write the book?
Yeah, the conception of it was relatively quick, but then, and I like to work really fast whenever I start writing something. So I would say that the first half of the book was written within a month. And after that, then the rest of it just fell into place within another month. And what I did is I made sure that the chapters were short, because this book is basically for new readers. You don't want to have too many complex words. You want to make sure that the characters kind of move the story forward, and that there's always something action-packed that's happening with every page. So it's a page-turner. And I think that the pace in which I wrote it was compelling enough to sort of carry all of that storytelling forward. And it didn't take much time at all. And when I finished, I gave the whole prototype to Chase, and he made a few tweaks here and there with the prophecy poem, and with a few of the little instances with the midnight nightshade celebration.
Oh yes.
So and he just said, "That's great, Grandma. This is going to be a fun book."
What a great bonding experience with a grandson. This has to be priceless, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I'm hoping that I can do more, not only more of this series, but certainly I have more grandchildren. So I'm thinking of doing something for some of them as well, but a different character, different kind of setup with mysteries and fun events that kids will like to read about.
That is such a unique story that you have, and how the book came about. And why was it, what was it that made you want to write this book? I mentioned the other book, Pushkin's Ode to Liberty. I'll mention more about that in a second. But what was it about this story, the way it was pitched to you by your grandson, that really got you excited about it? Because I can tell the passion you have for telling the story in Bones of Skull Island.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to do a project that where he and I could just sort of get a little closer, because I do a lot of traveling, and I'm still a working person. So I just felt that, you know, he's very focused on sports, but with the beginning of reading, you know, it's very important to our family that everybody learns to read really early. And so I really felt that the whole experience would make him more excited about reading books. He is very much into his video games and the sports, you know, the baseball, which is all fine and dandy. But I think that there's much to be offered with books of all kinds, and I just don't want our family to lose track of that. He was very much receptive to that, and he loved telling, you know, getting into the story, being able to tell his own story, or have the characters that he had created, along with myself, just sort of leading the way. So it was just really a fun experience to work with him. And when the book came out, initially, you know, because we're doing a rebranding. But when the book initially came out, he was just so excited, and we have enjoyed the experience together, which is which was my main goal.
What a great experience. And I'm sure he will lead his friends to buying the book, reading the book, and sharing the stories. What a wonderful concept this is, grandmother working with an idea from her grandson, turning into this wonderful book. The book is Bones of Skull Island. I mentioned Pushkin's Ode to Liberty, and you have a website, which is Pushkin's Ode to Liberty.com. This is a departure for that. What writing do you like best? Something like Pushkin or telling a story like Bones of Skull Island?
Yeah, I like the variety. So I have to say that Bones of Skull Island, like I say, it came really quickly to me, and the adventure was an adventure for me too, just to see how things were evolving, because I sort of channeled all the ideas. The character seemed to sort of lead me in the direction it needed to go, which is exactly how you want a book to be written, because the characters are what, the reader will identify with. So I was really excited about doing that book and excited about doing more. But with Pushkin, it's a historical fiction book, and that was more research involved in that in many, many ways. It took me years and years to accomplish all of the research that I did there, and I even went to Russia to visit the museum that they have there. But it's a departure, certainly, from writing a children's book such as Bones of Skull Island, but I really enjoy writing both types of books, and I have more that are in the making. So
that's good to hear, because I would love to have you back and talk about all of the books. Hunter Burroughs, you mentioned in the beginning you'd like to maybe continue this as a series. How does that look? Will there be a sequel to this book?
Yes, Chase and I have already talked about it, and he gave me an idea on the phone one day, and I've written it down, and I've started to work out kind of a story structure for that. And so that would be the next book, basically focusing on Bigfoot and the culture around Bigfoot.
Something to look forward to, because people who have read this have said, I hope the story continues. Good news, the story will continue. The book we're talking about today, Bones of Skull Island by A. Remlov. And that's R-E-M-L-O-V. That's on the cover. That's what you'll need to if you want to Google it. Also known as Mindy Duvernay, our guest on the program today. The book's available, or will be, wherever books are sold. It's going through, as was mentioned by Mindy, a rebranding. New version will be out very shortly. If it's not out now, check, make sure, order it, and enjoy the great story that comes to life in Bones of Skull Island. Mindy, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program. Congratulations to you and to Chase for sparking the story idea. A job well done. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. This has been quite lovely to visit with you and all your listeners, and I really appreciate it so much. And Chase does too. Chase couldn't get away from school today, but I told him we were doing this, and he was excited about it as well. So,
well, that's good.
This is wonderful. Thank you.
That's education's important, so I'm glad he chose education over talking with me today, because there's no educational value in chatting with me. So he's in school, and it sounds like you're doing great, and wonderful ideas he has for books. And they'll keep coming, and you'll keep doing books, and we'll keep talking about them. So it's been a pleasure to have Mindy with us on the program. A. Remlov, the book is Bones of Skull Island. You'll find it at urlinkpublishing.com, other places as well. Information on our website. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.